He's a columnist for the Register Guard. Find what he's up to on the front page of the sports section. You can catch up online, registerguard.com. Follow along on Twitter. The handle is at AustinMeekRG. Austin Meek joins us. Austin, how you doing?
Hey, Steve, I'm good. I missed you last week.
Yeah. What were you up to again? Oh, no, it was July 4th. It wasn't my fault. It wasn't
celebrating
your fault.
Our nation's independence.
Yeah, it was Adams and Jefferson. It was their fault.
Right. It's all their fault.
I lay blame at the feet of our founding fathers. I'm not usually big on exhibitions, but I was kind of drawn to last night's home run derby, and it's, you know, obviously Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton at his home, Cody Bellinger. I found it kind of entertaining. You caught the action. What did you think about the show they put on in Miami?
No, I thought it was entertaining, too. We talked a while back about the MLB's rising young stars, or maybe lack thereof. But if you watched the Derby last night, you know, there were some guys in that Derby that you can really get excited about. Cody Bellinger, Aaron Judge, I'm sure is a Yankees fan. You had two guys in there. That had to be a great night for you, wasn't it? Are you wearing your black robe and your wig to work today to celebrate?
No, I don't have an elevated chair, and Nick and Alex are not looking up at me in my Judge robe. But I'll tell you what, I kind of wish I thought about that last night before I came in today, man. That would. But the seed has been planted, so perhaps down the road. Now, we were talking the original format of the Derby where they got 10 outs. It just seemed to take forever. And then they put a clock on. They added the bracket. Do we need a final step? I mean, the bracket, I guess, is pretty cool because you head-to-head, then you advance. Do we just need the 4 minutes for each guy and 1 through 8 and the most homers advances? Or this got people buzzing, let it be.
I like the format. I like the head-to-head thing. You know, I think it adds another. I think it adds another element of drama to it. So I don't have a big problem with how it is. It's a little bit long. You know, it goes on a little bit too long for my taste. You know, you've seen one ball go over the fence. You kind of seen them all. That's probably my biggest complaint about the home run derby is that after a while it gets a little monotonous. But I think the format is pretty good. You know, to be honest, not having Chris Berman anymore adds to the entertainment value for me. Not having to hear that back every home run, that's a little refreshing. So now overall, I think it's okay.
By the way, I think the elimination of Berman has enhanced it. I know it's kind of mean, but man, that was definitely the buzz. Let's do a quick flashback. A week ago, 4th of July, the Emeralds game at PK Park, 20 innings. Then they had a fireworks show, and you spoke with the Emeralds general manager, Alan Benavides, and, you know, it's after 1 in the morning. It's a Tuesday. I mean, he had a bit of a dilemma. What kind of options was he reviewing at that point as far as, can we get this game over, and do we need to go ahead with the fireworks?
Yeah, well, first of all, everybody loves a good minor league fireworks fiasco. It's a classic minor league story. You know, of all nights of the year for the game to go 20 innings and get over at 1 in the morning, it had to be the 4th of July. It's one of their biggest promotions of the year. They spend a lot of money for this fireworks show. They really had no good options. I sympathize with the position they were in, you know, because Alan was explaining to me the way these fireworks shows work. It's not like you can just set it up and then take it down and do it some other time. It's like once you get it set up, you kind of have to shoot it off. So their compromise, which in hindsight may not have been the best idea, but the compromise was to shoot it off really fast, which did get it over with sooner, but it also probably made everybody in the neighborhood think that Russia was dropping bombs on Eugene. Those were all going off at once. But it was, you know, I got a laugh out of it. I know some people were upset about it. If I had gotten woken up, I might have felt differently. But I thought it was kind of amusing.
Yeah, if I had been living in the neighborhood, my dogs probably would have been ticked. But like you said, they mentioned the price, and it's like you can't take it down and start over. Unbelievable. No. So in your article, you referenced that Mets Braves game in 1985, which I remember I watched. We refuse to give in, but you've been part of, you know, you've followed a lot, you've covered a lot. Have you ever seen anything like that in person, multiple overtimes in basketball or football or a million innings in baseball? Yeah, you ever witness anything that nuts?
Nothing that crazy, no. I've covered I covered a college football game that I think went to four or five overtimes when I was covering K-State. That was probably the longest game I've ever covered. I've never covered a super long baseball marathon, or never seen one in person, actually, which, you know, as a fan, I think I would love to see one. As a sports writer, I have no desire whatsoever to cover one. Reading Steve's story, talking to Steve the next day, how many hours he spent at the ballpark, I can't even imagine. It's amazing that he was able to actually write a story that was coherent, because I don't think I could have done that.
No, August 2nd, 1978, I went to a Yankees-Red Sox game that got called tied because the old rule in the American League was you can't start an inning after 1:30, and it just went on and on and on and on. So, like I said, I saw the Mets-Braves, and I was in person for Yankees-Red Sox. And I'll tell you the truth, at a certain point, you know, you start to wear it like a badge. And then the game ends, and you're like, I'm an hour and a half from my house. This is awful.
Yeah, one of those things. It seems like a really fun idea at the time, and then after the fact, it's like, boy, I just wasted a lot of my life there.
Ages quickly, talking with Austin Meek of the Register Guard. So you were at Safeco Field for Mariners A's Saturday night. You had Andrew Moore, the former stud at North Eugene and Oregon State, throwing his third major league start. So let's talk about what you referred to as the support group. Who was on hand to cheer him on, and how emotionally taxing has this start to his career been on his mom?
Well, he did have a big contingent of family and friends in the crowd, and I didn't see all of them by any means, but I saw his mom. Mike Parker was there from Oregon State.
Nice.
The Eugene Challengers were there, I believe. So, I mean, that's the great thing about having Andrew in Seattle, is it's really easy to get up there and watch him. So there have been a lot of people. Corey Nicholson, his high school coach from North Eugene, I don't think he was there Saturday, but he was up for his first two starts. So there have been a lot of people in the stands to watch Andrew. And you know, it's life in the major leagues. It's never going to be easy. Andrew's pitched, I think, really well in his first three starts, given up three runs in each one of them, had three quality starts, but it's never easy. You know, he gave up a couple home runs against the A's, had a couple really tough innings, had to work out of some jams. So it's just, you know, it's a different kind of pressure that I'm sure you can't really know until you have that experience of being in a big league ballpark with 25,000 fans and everybody's hanging on your next pitch. It's got to be, no matter how much baseball you've played in your life, and he's played a lot, it's got to be different when you're on that major league mound.
Man, the upgrade from Swede Johnson to Goss to the major leagues is kind of an awesome contrast. So he was drafted just 2 years ago. He's made the show pretty quickly. I mean, I looked at Tyler Anderson, who pitched for the Ducks, took him 4 years. Heck, Kershaw took 2 years to get to L.A., and you spoke with his manager, Scott Servais. What did he have to say about what they liked about Moore when he arrived, and how he's doing so far, obviously, in the infancy of his major league career?
Well, Andrew's always been one of those guys who's not going to overwhelm you physically. You know, he's not very big. He's 6 feet tall, 180 pounds. He doesn't throw 100 miles an hour. He doesn't have that curveball that just drops off the shelf, or that slider, that wipeout slider. He's just got really good feel for his pitches. He mixes his pitches well. He's developed a changeup that, you know, his fastball's low 90s, 91, 92. But with that changeup, he's able to change speeds, mix and match a little bit. And he throws strikes. He's very aggressive. So I think the Mariners just feel like, even though maybe he doesn't have one pitch that's above average in the major leagues, when you put his stuff all together, you know, the combination of his pitches can make him an effective pitcher in the bigs. And obviously they believe in him. You know, he moved through the minors pretty quickly. The Mariners, I don't need to tell any Mariners fans that they've had issues with injuries in their rotation this year. So there was an opportunity for him to come pitch, and they need him to pitch, you know. It's not like, hey, let's bring this guy up and see what he can do. It's like, okay, we need him now. And I think every indication is he's going to be in their rotation for at least the rest of this year.
That's awesome. And let's not forget, he was a second-round pick, so that's huge value. I want to get to yesterday's event in Springfield, talking with Austin Meek of the Register Guard. Maybe the favorite athlete as far as the fans that I've seen my 27 years here. Had a charity golf event, Marcus Mariota's fundraising for his foundation. First of all, I guess, what could you tell us about this undertaking, the Motive 8, convenient that was his number, and who are his target beneficiaries?
Well, Marcus started this last year. It was something that he'd wanted to do from the time that he got drafted. And I think his goal is to help kids in the three places that he calls home, which would be Eugene, Nashville, and Hawaii. So he's targeted some specific causes in each of those three places that he can contribute to. He's worked with the Boys and Girls Club in Eugene. He sponsored a showcase event for high school football players in Hawaii so they could get seen by college recruiters. He did some back-to-school school supply drives in Nashville and Hawaii. So it's sort of just a collection of things, youth-related causes that are personal to Marcus. It's no surprise, you know, that he would be doing something like this. Anybody who knew him when he was at Oregon realized that, you know, he's always a guy who has looked to give back when he can. And it, you know, it was neat to see, because I've seen some athletes who, you know, they start a charitable foundation when they go pro and make a lot of money, but they're not necessarily that involved in it. You know, it's just one of those things that it's nice to do and have your name on it. But it seems like Marcus is really involved in this. All the causes that he's supporting are personal to him, and, you know, it's him and his family that are running the foundation. So it's neat to see the level of involvement that he has with it.
Well, your perception is admirable, because you already answered my next question. I was going to say, he doesn't seem to be the high-profile celebrity or athlete who just writes a check. He identifies and the issues and causes that mean something to him, and you know, has a substantial role in these philanthropic endeavors, which is nice to see, especially because, like you said, it's kind of a continuation of his reputation. So despite being the number two pick and getting one of those monster checks, it still seems like he's Marcus.
Yeah, I don't think anybody expected Marcus Mariota to be showing up on TMZ or anything after he got drafted. So it's certainly no surprise the way he's handled himself as a professional, but it's refreshing, because you never know. It's a different world when you're a top five draft pick with that kind of money and that kind of fame. You never know how people will respond to it, but with Marcus, you basically knew. If there's any guy that was a sure bet to handle himself well in the spotlight of playing in the NFL, it was Marcus.
Yeah, let's call it positive predictability. Great stuff as always, awesome, Austin. I was going to say awesome. Is that going to be your new nickname, Awesome Austin?
Hey, there you go.
appreciate you getting us off and running here. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll catch up next week.
Okay, thank you, Steve.
All right, take it easy.